Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, December 22nd, 2014. And with me today, I have podcasters extraordinaire. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am extraordinaire.
Really, I know.
Happy to be here.
The extraordinaire glows on you.
Thanks for having me.
It's either that or pregnancy, but I'm assuming it's just the extraordinaire. And also extraordinaire, Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I'm doing well. I as we speak, I am pulling the button on some amazing weather photos that folks should check out. Frozen, like all this frozen stuff in Slovenia, horizontal icicles. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, nice. You're doing that as Cool Stuff Found?
Yeah, as we speak.
Okay. Well, then since you're mentioning it, I'll make sure there's a link to it in today's show notes so people can enjoy the awesome photos that you found.
Sweet.
So I actually had a reason for calling you podcasters extraordinaire, and that's because it was my ham-fisted attempt as a segue into the topic I've just been fascinated with.
I approve of this message.
Why, thanks. I learned my awkward segues from you, Brian.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's, well, yeah. Anyhow, so over the weekend, Saturday Night Live did one of their video sketch spoofs that was wonderful. And I have to say, they've done a couple of these lately, which is instilling faith or hope in me that the series is actually really getting good again after several decades of blah. And anyhow, but this sketch, it was a total spoof on Serial. And Serial is a podcast. It's been running weekly. It just ended. It's something that NPR has been releasing. And the idea is you have this reporter who has taken a homicide case that has some questions surrounding just the whole thing. And she started diving really deeply into the case to see if she could sort out if the right person was in prison. And I mean, it's a fascinating series. If you haven't listened to it, check it out. It's it's just really fascinating. And I love how it was put together. But the fact that a podcast has become so mainstream that it is something that can be spoofed on Saturday Night Live and the general public totally gets it, I found to be absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, it is interesting, especially when you consider the fact that podcasts didn't exist before the iPod. Before, I mean, you know, it was, 2014?
Yeah, podcasts are just shy of 11 years old or perhaps exactly 11 years old now. That's
yeah,
it.
It's something. And there were radio shows and there were internet radio shows,
correct.
But there were no podcasts, and Apple just sort of, you know, breathed. It's fascinating to me that Apple was so quick to embrace this.
It was it was explained and said as much on stage by him that this was a pet project of Steve Jobs. He loved the concept and pushed it forward inside Apple. He didn't create it, right? It was, you know, arguably, so there's like the Adam Curry, Dave Weiner camp that arguably created the first podcast. And I think Dave Slusher created the first podcatcher, but Apple embraced it and made iTunes the most popular podcatcher.
True. Yeah, Adam Curry refers to himself as the godfather of podcasting.
The podfather.
The podfather. That's right.
That's right. But he's extremely good and always has been good at both self-promotion and business. So it's not surprising that he would call himself that. And a deserved title, I think. So.
But, you know, Apple has this entire infrastructure in place for podcasts.
Yeah.
The vast majority of which Apple doesn't get any revenue for, and it actually costs Apple resources to do.
And sure, but it sells iPods.
Or it did sell iPods.
Or did sell iPods, sure.
So it's a, I don't know, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing how quickly it became a thing and just how quickly it became a thing that everybody knew and accepted. And it wasn't even just like, you know, those weird Apple people.
Right. You know, it was at first. But it, you're right. It very quickly became bigger than Apple, and yet the name podcast stuck, which annoys some to no end. Certainly not anyone at Apple.
But
like Leo Laporte hates the term podcast. I think he's sort of acquiesced on this now finally, but at first, man, he was like, it was Netcast. That's what we're going to call him. We can't relate this to Apple. It's like, yeah, dude. Even 10 years ago. It's too late.
Right? Here's the problem. Here's why part of why this happened. Podcast is so close to broadcast. It makes sense. It has an intuitive value to it that you just instantly grok when you hear it.
Yep. Yeah, just Netcast like, sounds too geeky for
yeah,
me.
Absolutely.
I mean, not for me,
it
but
does.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like, and I'm like, this is what, like the one time I'm saying this not to push your buttons, Jeff. It's like phablet. It's a word that conveys meaning that is instantaneous and makes complete sense when you hear it.
Yep. And it describes at least, the iPhone 6 Plus.
True. Mm-hmm. And at least podcast doesn't put me on tilt. So there's that.
I like it.
Well, you know what? You can get together with Leo and y'all can talk about netcasting and large scale form factor.
We did
smartphones.
That, at the Apple Store during Macworld Expo. So that would have been maybe 10 years ago, right? Adam Christensen organized a thing at the San Francisco Apple Store where he had a bunch of podcasters up in their theater and he basically ran a maniacal roundtable discussion or panel discussion of you know, cast of thousands. I think there were 20 people on stage when you counted it all up at the end. Not all at the same time, but and he had to work through Apple PR to like get them to agree to do this and all of that. And Leo gets up there and starts ranting about, we can't call them podcasts. We have to call them Netcast. And Apple PR freaked out.
I can imagine.
Oh, yeah. Never again were the words spoken.
It's interesting. It's interesting that Leo would be on the wrong side of this. Leo, of all people, he's usually pretty quick to grasp.
Yeah.
Things such as, like, you know, trends.
It's true. Well, I think that's it, right? He saw this happening and was like, dude, we can't let Apple own this.
Well, that's
and
just,
the
that's
reality
just,
is they don't.
That's just it. Apple doesn't own this.
It's not a problem.
No, it's, yeah. No, it's
I understand the sentiment, right? But it's not a problem. And now, we're talking about 10 years ago when it was literally a year old and it was already too late to change the name. Clearly, that was a correct assumption because here we are 10 years later and it's too late to change the name.
Very much so.
But this serial thing has caused podcasting to explode again. I mean, we saw it grow rapidly like 8 years ago. I think we're going to see percentage-wise even a greater percentage of growth. And yes, that's on top of where it already was. I think it's going to be,
you know, how many,
it already is huge. Yeah.
How many, you know, movie stars and rock stars and perhaps TV stars have we heard say that they knew that they'd made it when they got on SNL?
Yeah.
So when they were parodied on SNL. I guess podcast knows.
Yeah. That's right.
Or yes, true. Or when they were parodied. That's true.
That's even better, right? That now you're part of the public discussion, right?
Yeah.
Pop culture.
Yeah. Yes. And yeah, and podcasting, I think, now has hit that point because here we go. Sarah Koenig's series has been parodied on SNL, and brilliantly so. And
I haven't watched the parody. I only started listening. It just so happened. I had no idea it was parodied on Saturday night, but yesterday morning during a trip back and forth to the Apple Store, I started listening to Serial. I had queued it all up, and I knew I wanted to listen to it at some point. I was like, oh, perfect opportunity. And I'm totally hooked after just one episode. But do I want to watch the parody, or should I stay far away from that, Jeff?
There will be a couple things that will happen that the joke won't be as funny to you now as it will be after you see the whole series. There's nothing in there that's truly a spoiler.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay.
Yeah.
And you said see the whole series. It is important, just to, for clarity, it is an Audible podcast. It is not.
Did I really say see the series?
You did. Wow. Yeah, it's not related to the company Audible, but it is an audio-only podcast.
So. Well, when I listen to podcasts, I tend to get an animation of a cassette, and there's an app for that, and I watch the reels turn.
That's nice.
That's great, Brian.
I don't do that.
No.
Although, in my mind, from this point forward, you will.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a cassette turning right now, Brian, that you're recording too.
That's true.
That's true. And I'm sitting here turning the handle to make sure that that the tape speed doesn't change.
Excellent.
Yeah. And so if people, you are hearing variation, no, it's not Brian. I just need to work on that hand crank thing. Hey, the other thing I wanted to talk a little bit about today was this report that came out late last week, where a research company started interviewing people, asking them, which tech wearable device do you want to buy? And so, of course, there were people that were interested in Google Glass and people that were interested in Samsung's Galaxy Watch. Some people talked about Fitbit, but the device that stood out far above the rest was Apple Watch. Apple Watch, which I have to point out, is not going to be available until, according to Angela Ahrens, Apple's vice president of retail, spring.
Right. Which, sometime after March 20th.
That's my assumption.
Yeah. That's that is, you know, every time Apple does this, it seems like every time, starting with the iPod, then with the iPhone and the iPad, and throw an iTunes store in there as well. Matter of fact, I think iBooks may be the lone product or service that Apple has rolled out that just hasn't instantly captured all the mindshare. We can thank the DOJ for part of that, but that's another podcast. It's fascinating how much interest there is in Apple Watch when Apple has shown so little of it.
When the Apple Watch was announced and they said it's going to be a while, we all sort of gave them a pass on it, saying, well, it's just like the iPhone. They wanted to be the ones to announce it and not have the FCC announce it, you know, through a leak or whatever. But they also timed it quite well to own the holiday season here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they, yeah. I think they do own the holiday season in the wearables market, even though they have nothing to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like they did with the iPad, right? I mean, and they didn't even announce the iPad, but I remember the year the iPad came out, CES was all about the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was, oh, our tablet's better than the iPad. Of course it's better than the iPad. The iPad is a non-existent product that no one is talking about.
But to be fair, most of the tablets we saw at CES were also non-existent.
That's true. Yeah. Yes, but at least they were announced.
That's true. And they had non-functioning prototypes or maybe dummy mock-ups in place.
Yeah, I do recall
booths
wouldn't let me touch the device with their tablets.
Right.
They're like, no, you can't touch this. I'm like, well, how do we know it even works? Well, you just can't touch it. I'll take a photograph. Yeah. No, here, take a flyer instead.
Yeah, take a flyer for this watch that you can't touch, which was how it was when the iPhone was introduced. That is one distinct difference between the iPhone's introduction when we could not touch it and the Apple Watch introduction when they strapped them to our wrists happily. We didn't get to take
them. That's true.
Right? That was a conscious effort of not vaporware.
But I think that the iPhone probably worked less well that January than, or I should say that Apple had a more firmly operational demo mode for the Apple Watch than Apple had for the iPhone.
Well, no, clearly they put effort into creating this demo mode. Right. Yeah. I mean, there were resources taken off of developing the thing, you know, for consumer retail and put on to make a demo that we can show the world here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is a smart move. Nobody really yelled at him about this at the time, but I think if Apple were to do that again with an iPhone-ish or something, if they had done that with the Apple Watch and not let anybody touch it, we would all be giving them a lot more grief about a product that's not released than we are.
That's true.
Yeah. No, it's a smart move.
And there's, you know, we were just talking about how Apple has owned this holiday season. There's more to that than mere spite, and there's more to that than simply keeping other people from selling anything. Apple has made sure that there is no other product that can suddenly gain momentum. There's no other smartwatch that can suddenly gain momentum this holiday season because it became a great gift.
Yep. I'm curious now. I hadn't thought about what CES is going to be like in a couple of weeks. The three of us will be there. I'm really eager to see how many people tell me they or show me some mock-up or otherwise that is better than the Apple Watch. I mean, it's going to be way worse than it was with the iPad, right?
Yeah,
it has to be.
That's my assumption. Yeah. And now, Brian, you said that Apple took the momentum out of the wearables sales for the holiday season. And
actually, I said that Apple's preventing any momentum from building.
Okay. Yes, they're preventing any momentum from building. And I'm looking at all this. I absolutely agree. And I see two companies that had a golden opportunity to have some catalyst for momentum and have totally screwed it up. And the first one is Fitbit. I think if they had chosen to support HealthKit, that there would be more people interested in buying their devices this season than currently are.
Yes.
And the other one is Microsoft and with their Band. And they released a product that looks very compelling. But for whatever reason, they have failed to be able to get these into people's hands. Like, I have been trying for weeks to get a hold of one. And can't do it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I've talked to a lot of people that are very pro-Microsoft that are very frustrated and are even at the point where they're saying, well, we're now wondering if Microsoft intentionally kept inventory low because they don't have faith in their own product, which is foolish. They should own it and just push it. Or
there are numerous reasons for it. I appreciate the sentiment behind the accusation, but it's fair to say that there are numerous reasons for inventory problems.
Yeah. Of course, absolutely.
I'm much more inclined to label it incompetence and execution.
I'm with you on that.
I will say though, Brian, I have seen this not with Microsoft. I saw it with Bose. They have their Sound Dot. Oh gosh, now I'm going to screw it up. They have their Sonos competitor-ish, right? And they were very eager to talk to me, and I chatted with them, and they were going to send me some stuff to check out because I'm a Sonos fan, but nobody competes with them. Well, BlueStation sort of does now, which is another company I want to check out and will at CES. But I want someone to compete with Sonos. It's a good thing for the market. And as soon as Bose realized that I was involved and already had Sonos stuff and was, you know, kind of a Kool-Aid drinker there, they completely ceased all conversations with me.
Yeah. Well, that says
and you can draw whatever conclusion you want. What I will say is I did finally, through my own devices, get a hold of one of these to test, and it didn't take me long to decide what a shame there's still no competitor to Sonos.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the safe conclusion to me, just from them wanting to keep you from getting it.
Yeah. 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 It's crazy. There are some nice things it does, though. I will say about that Bose thing. The display on it's actually kind of cool.
So now there is a potential downside here for Apple owning this whole smartwatch wearable thing ahead of the release. Expectations, I think, are building for anyone who's paying attention to this stuff. Expectations for what this thing is, that this is going to become the Jesus watch before long.
Yeah, that you're right. That could backfire on Apple. If even though Apple has made it very clear exactly what this watch will do.
No, I don't think Apple's made that clear at all.
Well, they've set expectations because they've said, here are the things it does. So we can expect it to do those things, and anything else will be a welcome surprise. So, but yes, I think you're right. There's people that are going to expect this to be far more than it is. Just because the hype is building up,
mm-hmm. And so Apple's going to have to deliver, or you know, there will be blowback. Yes. And that's fine. I'm okay with Apple having pressure to deliver.
Yeah, but even if they deliver only what they showed us at the initial rollout or the unveil, I think that there would be people that would be disappointed because they're expecting it to be more than that.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. All right. So we are out of time. Thank you, Brian and Dave, for joining me today.
For sure.
As always.
Of course.
It's great to have you here. And Dave, once you finish listening to all of Serial, I'm really curious what you think. And we'll have to talk about who we think the killer is. And yes. All of our listeners, thanks for chiming in and listening. And you can find us on Twitter. We are TMO Daily there, and keep interacting with us because I love hearing what you have to say. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.